Good evening, everyone. This is Adam from Rookerfoot 24 with another podcast episode this evening. A big thank you and a happy birthday to Stell today. Shoot the defence, they're giving me the opportunity to get my messages out to the wider community. I've got an exciting story for you today. I've got Callum Ferry, I don't know how many of you will have heard of, but up in Scotland, he's playing for Dundee, and he comes from my neck of the woods down in the Midlands. So I'm going to look forward today to finding out his experiences and how he's getting on up in Scotland. Callum, it's great to have you with us this evening. How are you doing?
Hi, Adam. I'm not bad. It's good to be here. Looking forward to having a wee chat and getting through some things.
A wee chat there. I can tell you've been up there a while now. It's starting to sneak in already.
All rubbing off. But I mean, my mum and dad are both Scottish as well, so that's always a good sign. But they're down in England still. But I have picked up a lot of the lingo.
Oh, fair play. And before we get started, obviously, big congratulations on Scotland for their successes last week, and looking forward to the games in the summer. But anyway, Cam, as you know, how did you get started in football anyway? Where did it all begin with you?
Well, I think I've always been into football through sort of my older brother. He was always football mad, and he always just made me go in goal. So that's And he's 5 years older than me, so he could kick it a lot harder. And I think that helped me a lot when I was a lot younger. But I was never really wanted to join a team. I had to get convinced into it by my friends. And then I did well and got a trial at Stoke in their academy when I was, I think, 7 or 8. And then went to there. And that sort of kick-started my academy life. Was at Stoke for the first 5 years in a way. From the age of 8. So I've been in football academies for, well, it's 14 years of my life. So it's definitely been more of my life than anything else has been football, you know?
What's it like in the academies then? Because, I mean, I wasn't very good, to be perfectly honest. So I was lucky if I played junior league football and not just on the side of the pitch. I've never known it. You know, a lot of the people I speak to are involved in academies, but the people who aren't involved, what's the day-to-day life like there?
I think definitely when I first joined Stoke, it was when they were in the Championship. And I think after a couple of years when I was there in the academy, they got promoted to the Prem. And I think there was a big shift in terms of their focuses when that happened, in terms of having to produce players and cost efficiency and things like that. But as a young kid, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, it could become a very pressured environment, I think, opposed to very different just playing with your mates in your local junior team sort of thing. There's sort of an 8, 9, 10 year old training 3 times a week. For me, it was an hour 15 sort of drive there. So it was a big commitment for my parents as well, especially with petrol, and to even give me that sort of platform, you know. And it was I just remember being very tired a lot of the time because it was straight home from school most days, and then a quick dinner, homework, and then straight in the car all the way to Stoke, train, and then back in the car home, and then straight to bed. But it definitely set me up well for a future in football, being in an academy from such a young age. Technically wise, it gave me that platform to then build on.
Yeah, fair, I think. Fair dues. So when was it you moved to Port Vale?
That was when I was 13. So I was at Stoke for 5 years. And then I had a 2-year contract in the academy at Stoke. And then I was coming into my last year and they said, look, we don't think you're going to be good enough for us, so we're not going to play you in any games, but feel free to keep coming training and things like that. And obviously, because I was still under contract, technically I couldn't, you know, just go to another club.
At 13?
In the academy, yeah. Wow. So I sort of, me and my parents came to the decision. We said, right, we'll give it a go. We said to them, right, what do I need to improve on to, you know, give me a chance to beer because Stoke was all we knew, really. My parents aren't a footballing background people. They're all very new to it. You know, weren't particularly savvy in sort of that side of things. And I just remember asking sort of, what can I do to be better? And I remember them coming back with a list with, I think it was every single thing a goalkeeper could, every attribute you could think of. I think even height was on there.
Oh, wow.
How do you fix that?
Yeah.
I know, but so once we saw that, I went away and I worked with a goalie coach back home for the summer, came back and then just got the same answer, really. It's not really going to be good enough. So we were like, okay, well, let's, you know, go try somewhere else. And that's when, well, first off, there was the difficulty of leaving because Stoke wanted compensation to begin with. For obviously, I was 13 at the time, 12, 13. And I think the going rate was about 5,000 per year for development at the time. Mm-hmm. So Stoke would have been looking for about 25 grand for me, a 13-year-old, who they don't think is good enough.
Which is ridiculous.
But I guess that's just what clubs try and do to protect their assets, isn't it?
Yeah.
But eventually they did take that compensation off, and Port Vale, I went to there and they signed me, and it was brilliant at Port Vale. I loved it. It was a big shift, obviously, away from a Premier League club to a sort of a League One club. But I really enjoyed it, and I felt like it's what I needed, because at Stoke, I felt like I just sort of became another number, another mm-hmm. figure. It became a lot less personal, I felt, when it went into Premier League. I think me and my parents both, we all felt that, even as a young kid, I felt it became a lot less personal. And at Port Vale, it became a lot more personal again. People had time for you, and it was a great environment. And I really, really enjoyed growing up at Port Vale, really, and getting to the youth team eventually.
Oh, I mean, that's great. It's great to hear. I mean, Port Vale, obviously, they've been through a few difficult patches over the last
year. I remember that when I was in the academy.
Did it filter down to the academy? Did you feel it at that level?
I think we did to an extent in terms of, I can't remember what year it was, but the club went into administration and it was worrying in the academy. We were all thinking, you know, the academy could get shut down, because sometimes that is the first thing that goes, isn't it?
When
a club needs to save money. So it was a bit worrying for us, but it all worked out for the best in the end, really. It all carried on, and I think the academy there produces a lot of very good players who go on to higher leagues and higher things, as well as players who play for Port Vale themselves as well. So it's you can't.
At academy level, did you still have the same sort of rivalry with Stoke as they do at the seniors?
I think to an extent we did, but we never really played them that much, because by the time I'd gone to Port Vale, they had, I think that was when they'd shifted into sort of the Premier League categories, where sort of the elite clubs, or as elite as they're called, played other elite clubs. And we were a lot more sort of played clubs around our area. But you definitely did feel that rivalry. And a lot of players who were at Port Vale, even through the academies, had previously been at Stoke for a period of time.
Yeah.
Because that's, I think, a lot of being the bigger club, they obviously attracted the players, and then the ones that didn't want would filter down, if you know what
trickle,
I mean.
Yeah, the trickle down scenario. Mm. And of course, you've got to spend a bit of time at one of my local clubs near to Tamworth in sunny Gresley, Church Gresley.
Yep. It was when I was in the youth team. I think it was in my second year of my scholarship at Port Vale. The opportunity came up to go out on loan, because their goalie had an injury at the time, I think. So it was brilliant. It was to get out and to play some men's football. And I really enjoyed my time at Gresley. It was a very well-run club from what I saw. But, I mean, my first game was, I think it was the FA Trophy away at Matlock. So it was a team in the division above, or a couple divisions above at the time. I can't quite remember. But I remember in that, we lost that game. I had a lot of decent saves, but I got my tooth knocked out in that game, which was good fun.
Welcome to the world of non-league football.
it was my own fault punching a ball. I just headbutted the back of a striker's head. So it was my own fault, really. But it was good fun going around the hospitals after and being told after waiting for a few hours, we're thinking, oh, maybe they can stick it back up because it was hanging on by a nerve. So we're like, oh, maybe they can stick it back up. But they just went, nah, we'll just pull it out for you if you want. So I had to wait and go to a dentist the next day. But luckily it got sorted. It got stuck back in and it's still there to this day. But who knows, if I get hit in the face a bit too hard, it might pop out.
Watch out then, watch out. So
exactly,
how did it come about then? You went from youth team academy football Port Vale and you wind up in a sunny Dundee on the east coast there.
Well, it was obviously I was at the scholarship at Port Vale, so that's the 2 years, isn't it? 2 year contract, yeah. And then the decision time for whether you're going to get a professional deal or not. And that came around, and it was me and another goalkeeper in the youth team at the time, and we were both quite evenly matched, and they said that to us, and they said they wanted to take the both of us, but there wasn't the budget for it, and so they were going to take the other one. And for me, it was, at the time, it's devastating because that feels almost like the end in terms of football, because you work so hard towards it, and then you get so close to being able to even just call yourself a professional footballer, because even in the youth, in the under 18s, you're not really a professional footballer, you're a scholar. So it was rough, to be fair, but I made the decision with my parents to give it a go for a good year in terms of trying to find a club and see what happened, because I had options to maybe go in America and do the college route and things like that, or Erasmus Plus, which was a player placement to Sweden, which I almost did as well. But we just decided to try our luck with everywhere, and didn't have an agent at the time. So I just got as many contacts in terms of emails for clubs, for the secretaries, you know, addresses, and sent out emails to every single club in England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and then sent out actual physical letters with the CD for my clips and things like that to England, Scotland, Wales, again, Ireland, all those clubs. So we spent, I think it was like, all in £300-400 in stamps and envelopes alone to get them all out. It was a lot of that was a very long day. Me and my mum sat at the table just writing every single address out. I think we were at it from about 9 till 9. It was a very long day, a lot of hand cramp after, but that's how Dundee came about. I got a call, I think it was a couple of weeks later. I was actually down waiting to get my car out of the garage, and got a call from the goalie coach at Dundee, and he said that they'd got my letter and seen my CD and wondered if I could send over a couple more clips. So I did, and said that they're really interested in taking me up on trial. So a few weeks later, drove up to Dundee and went in on trial for a couple of weeks. Played I think my first game was a trial game. I think it was away at Brecon. So it was a good game, saved a penalty. So things went in my favour. You know, so that's really how it came about. Just one letter, and then they needed a goalie at that time. And he said that I'd played some senior football at Gresley, and that made me stand out opposed to the other young academy goalkeepers who were just coming out of youth team with just junior football, which was brilliant, really. It was very lucky at the time.
But now in hindsight, is this something that you would recommend to people? You know, youth players, to get out there, get the experience. Don't be afraid to go out on loan, get the non-league experience, get it on your CV, shall we say.
No, definitely. I think in a lot of leagues and a lot of managers really do regard senior football, regardless of maybe the level, as they hold it a lot higher regard than they do just playing 18s or 20s football. I know in Scotland as well, a lot of clubs send their players out to the junior leagues, which are quite low down the pyramid there. I don't think they can actually get promotion to the football league.
Yeah.
But it's men's football and the quality is pretty decent, and the physicality as well. It really shows if a player is going to crumble under that or if they're going to stand up and do what they need to do, so that they can deal with a higher level game where the physical's maybe a bit less, but the technical, I think every young player should really want to do that.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. And the other thing that you've really shown there as well is that perseverance, the desire to, you know, to succeed, and, you know, the 12-hour day of writing, nothing but addresses. That's they're the days where the week do kind of, the ones who aren't going to make it do just kind of roll away, and we hear endless stories go around the game of people who've just gone, yeah, I'm not going to do that. That's a little bit too much for me. So, I mean, how did it differ moving up there? You spoke about the physicality of the junior football, and how much different was it to Port Vale when you first moved up there?
I think it's Scottish football in general. I think people think it's all, especially people in England, almost think, look at it as a bit prehistoric, maybe. I think it's very like that, but it's really not when you actually spend time watching games. And it's, if anything, in compared to sort of League One, League Two, it ends up being maybe a bit quicker tempo, a bit frantic maybe at times, but technically players up here are very, very skilled. And I always say, I think that down south, League One and Two was probably more physical than it is up in Scotland. I think there's a lot of very high quality players in Scotland now. And I think a lot of clubs are being able to hold on to their players a bit better in Scotland now than all the good ones just sort of heading down south. But there wasn't really a massive change in terms of football for me. It was very similar, just a switch over from 18s into sort of 20s, under 20s at the time at Dundee, which is where I started off. Mm-hmm. And then just working your way through that league, which was competitive because first team players are allowed to play in it. You're allowed a certain amount over ages. So it meant that you were playing against really top quality players. You were playing Premier League football sort of every other week, but just ticking over for minutes.
That's fair. Do you think it helped you then, having been a scholar at Port Vale? I assume you lived away from home there, so moving up to Dundee, it was just another location.
It definitely helped, Carl. So it was only an hour and 20 in Stoke away from home, but I did move out and I was only home sort of on the Sundays. So it did warm me up for being nearly 6 hours away from home. It's obviously a big change moving away from family, friends into an area you don't know. But at the time I was like, well, if I want to be a professional footballer, even if it's, you know, if it goes all wrong in the next couple of years, you know, I know that I've given it my best shot to do it. And I thought about my parents had put so much effort in and things like that, you know, I thought I might as well. And I mean, my brother lives in America, so he's away anyway. My sister's recently, last couple of years, moved to Japan. So I've ended up the closest from my parents anyway. So.
All right, then. How did the club help? Did they help you with the transition up there?
Well, they've been brilliant in terms of accommodation, helping me get accommodation. And they're sort of there if you need them sort of thing. I've adapted pretty well to being away from home. I've had a lot of roommates, really, as people have come and gone. I think I've probably maybe had 12, 13 roommates over the 5 years in terms of people living with me. I think I had four last year alone.
Oh, wow. What are you doing to them?
I know. I think it's just, I must be a curse. But no, it does. So it helps when you're not living by yourself as well. You've got somebody else to bounce off and things like that. And the club's always there if you need them, sort of thing.
Definitely. Do you think it's beneficial these days when clubs have these liaison officers and the like, whereas I know sort of 20 years ago, this sort of role didn't exist?
I think definitely. I think it helps so much because a subject I'm interested in is sports psychology, and that's sort of the degree I want to move into when I eventually do a university course and things like that. And I think that in the modern game is so important. Being right in your home life can help you so much in your professional life. And I think especially if I was older, say with kids and things like that, then the uprooting them from one school to another, you want a club to come in and be able to say, look, this is maybe the best thing for them, or this is where is a good school, things like that. It can make it just feels a whole lot better, really. I think in nowadays that helps so much in the transition to professional life and performances on the pitch, knowing that you're comfortable.
Anyway, moving on. Obviously, yeah. your first loan experience with me was out at Stirling, am I right?
Yep, that was Stirling. That was two seasons ago now.
Yeah, how was that as a club?
Oh, it was a brilliant club. I can't speak highly enough of it. The people behind it on the board just very much love the club. You know, they're not really going to make a profit from being League Two in Scotland. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So they're there because they love the club and they want to build their club and do well for the club, the community. And obviously with it being a smaller club, but you still get 400-500 fans to games, it's a good stepping stone. And I really enjoyed my season there. I had fantastic year there with them. I got player of the year and young player of the year there.
Oh, super.
So it was fantastic, despite I missed, a couple months of the season because I needed meniscus surgery on my knee. So to still have, I think, about 30 games in the season, it still was a decent effort for me, you know, and it gave me everything I needed. And the club itself was fantastic. The gaffer, the manager, the chairman, they just all couldn't do enough for you, which really, they just loved the club.
Ah, brilliant.
Well for the club. It was fantastic.
Brilliant. Any interesting, what was your most interesting away day when you were at Stirling?
Away day, I think it would have to be between Albion Rovers and Cowdenbeath. They're probably the two big ones. Cowdenbeath, because they've got the Blue Brazil. They've got the track for the car racing around the pitch. And then around the pitch, they've got the big tyre, big tractor tyres to stop the cars going onto the pitch. But we turned up for the game and one of the cars, I think, had either gone off the track or gone onto the grass to celebrate. So there was a big donut on the track in the corner by the corner flag. So that was always a good. Cowdenbeath is always a interesting and away day, but that's something I love. It's fantastic to see those sort of stadiums. And then Albion Rovers as well, which is nicknamed the San Siro of the North because it's got stairs up to the entrance out onto the pitch. It really is really narrow, uneven steps. You've got to be careful on in your boots. But I think it's just right in the middle of Cope Bridge as well. Houses around it. It's just fantastic, really.
Oh, superb. I know a few people, they do enjoy doing the tour of the Scottish grounds. It's something, it's on my bucket list to do.
Get a mix of everything.
Go and visit some of these places.
Definitely.
I think for me, some of the ones up in the north as well, really scream out. Some beautiful country up there.
Inverness is fantastic, up by the opening up over the sea, by the bridge. It's brilliant. Such a lovely place.
Oh, fantastic. You've got me dreaming of travels once again, post-COVID, shall we say.
Hopefully one day, aye.
Definitely. Of course, you went to Falkirk, didn't you, halfway through last season, and then boom. Did you manage to get any game time before COVID kicked in, or did COVID scupper it completely?
No, it was a deadline day move on the January deadline to Falkirk, and it was one where I was hoping that I was going to get some game time at Dundee that season, but that didn't happen. So it was to get out on loan. And it was one of them where I knew I might struggle to get in a side which is doing well and not conceding a lot of goals. But for me, it was to get out, build a profile at another club, you know, and on the off chance that I might play some games. But then, and I was training really well and doing well, but obviously COVID hit. And that scuppered any sort of ideas of that. But once again, it was a fantastic, brilliant club. I loved being at it. The coaching staff, the players, the whole way the club was run was, can't speak highly enough of it, the positivity throughout the club of wanting to do well. And from the board all the way down, it just felt everybody was just pushing in the right direction. So hopefully they can go up this season. When the season actually gets completed this year, hopefully.
Fingers crossed for that. Fingers crossed.
I mean, definitely.
Yeah, this. I mean, people tend to forget, what's, you know, from your perspective, what was it actually like being a pro footballer, especially when the lockdown first hit back in March, April time?
I think it was very weird because it just sort of one day we were in at training and then getting ready for, I think it was away at East Fife, we were playing that game, and then suddenly we got told all the game's off. So we had a little 11v11 between ourselves that day. And then they just sort of said, we'll see what next week brings. And then next week brought lockdown sort of thing, or, you know, the stopping of the football teams and football training. And mm-hmm. it was a weird time to be in football because everyone was sort of like, okay, well, what do we do? Nobody, it's all brand new to everybody, not just in football, you know, and obviously health always comes first. Football is it's a game at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really. And it was definitely a weird transition, but I can tell you, I definitely got the fittest I've ever been running. That's for sure. Okay, I was just up here in the flat by myself for the first, I think, 3 months of lockdown until rules were eased and I could then create a bubble with my mum and dad. Mm-hmm. So it was a bit of a fair shift, to be fair, just up here, just by myself, out running every day. The club was brilliant, sent us programs. Obviously, it was optional because we're on furlough, but we're all going to do them because that's our job, isn't it, end of the day?
Exactly.
Keeping ourselves fit.
Exactly. But
it was definitely a change. And obviously, there's limited things you can do as a goalkeeper by yourself, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. So you were furloughed at Dundee then. Was that sort of commonplace in the championship?
Yeah. I think most clubs across the UK did make use of the furlough scheme.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have, obviously a lot of clubs, even still now, without the fans being able to come in, it's financially is difficult for them, I think, for a lot of clubs. And I think it was there to be made use of. And I think it helped save a lot of jobs behind the scenes as well, in terms of cleaners and, you know, receptionists and things like that, because they're all need a livelihood too, don't they? It's not just the football side.
Exactly. So when did you start to get back with your teammates again?
I think it was around August time.
Okay.
When we came back in, end of July, if I remember correctly. And then, because obviously our season wasn't then going to start again till, I think it was start of October, our season actually did kick off again.
Yeah.
So it felt like quite a long pre-season, because we've obviously done a lot of running, so it felt like we never really stopped throughout the whole year. But we all came back and we'd all been doing the running and we're all flying running, but the goalkeeping work, one or two reps and I was absolutely blowing, because it's just so different. I got so used to just running that I wasn't used to the up, down, up, down, diving around, things like that. And it took my body a few weeks to get back used to the hits and the bruises and the heavy landings and things like that. But it was just so nice to get back to playing football.
Because
it had been so long. I know, longest time in my life since I was, 7 years old, not playing football. It was brilliant to get back, that's for sure.
People don't realise that as well, you know. It's a real part of people's lives for so many people, and the lockdown's still for fans and people involved in the game from that side who can't get in. It's one of the hardest hit industries out there. Has training changed at all? Are there any things that you can do now or can't do because of COVID?
I think it's just sort of following the guidelines that are put in place at the minute. And I think every club in the Scottish Championship, it was the same in the EFL. They weren't testing unless they were playing a team that was testing. Mm-hmm. So it's just maintaining the social distancing. So it means that we can't say, we used to always go to the stadium and we'd get changed in the changing room and then we'd head down to the training pitch. But now we can't do that because of the social distancing rules and things like that. So it's just turn up to training and then everybody has to stay apart. And then when we get onto the pitch, we can do our training. But then once we're off the pitch, we've all got to make sure we're apart and no hanging around sort of thing. So it's a bit, different in terms of you lose that changing room atmosphere maybe a little bit, but you just find other ways to do that and get the team spirit going, isn't it, on the pitch and things like that. So it is a bit of a change in terms of that. And I'm not enjoying the filthy, muddy days where I have to climb back into my car, putting plastic bags and towels down so I don't get everything dirty.
Well, you win some, you lose some, doesn't it?
I love those days when you're getting all filthy, muddy, sliding about there. They're the best days, so I can't really complain.
Of course, I just realised whilst talking to you, of course, you've had, you know, a legend of the game, shall we say, has signed for Dundee this season, named Charlie Adams. What's it like having him at training, you know, with the experience he's got?
I think he's obviously a Dundee boy. He's Dundee born, you know, and then he's obviously gone down to England and he's had a fantastic career and played Premier League football. And that experience and knowing that he's played that level and you can learn a lot from him and him talking about players that he's played with and the way and he sees the game and his range of passing is ridiculous in terms of, and his shooting as well. For me, as a goalkeeper, you know, what I want is somebody to be able to test me as much as I can, as high as I can, you know, and his shooting ability, it's taken getting used to for a wee bit, you know, because he's just sort of clinical. When he strikes it right and hits it well, it's flying and it's getting up to that speed. It can only help me, sort of thing. So it's fantastic for me in terms of that as a goalkeeper.
Great. And of course, you're having a great start to the season yourself. You've made a few appearances, or a few more than a few appearances.
I've played three league games, so it's been a good start to the season. I think it was always going to be a difficult start after so long off for everybody. I think there was a lot of unknowns because you play friendlies. It's the same as every season. You play friendlies, but you don't really know how that's going to equate into the in-season competitive games. But it's just one of them where the Scottish Championship is a difficult league. Really, you know, and with Hearts coming down as well, they're a big, sort of a big fish in the pond. That's just the way it sort of is. And I think everybody can beat everybody, really. That's just the way a lot of leagues work. And I think you just take it game by game, try and get results, performances, and then see where that leaves you at the end of the season.
Really is, you know, from when I observe Scottish football, it seems you take out the Celtic and the Rangers, then there's almost sort of 15 or 16 equally sized clubs that can compete against each other on any day. And it just happens that some sit in the Championship and some sit in the SPL. So it's
definitely. I think there's so many clubs, big teams that aren't in the Premier League at the moment and big fan bases. So we'll just have to, it's where everyone in Scottish football wants to be, really.
Definitely. Of course, one of those teams has just bounced back after a couple of years in the Championship, not too far from you. What's it like having Dundee United literally a kick of the ball down the road?
It's ridiculous how close the stadiums are. I think it's fantastic that they are that close. I think it really shows the rivalry, but at the same time, I always feel like it's a good-natured rivalry. There's a lot of ribbing and jibbing and things like that, but when it comes to it, I think everybody in the city would love for both teams to be at the highest level and playing at the highest level and back to sort of when Dundee were really successful, I think in the 50s and 60s, and then when United were more successful in the 90s, and early 2000s, I think it would be fantastic for both teams to get back up to that level and really be challenging around the top end of the Scottish Premiership. Yeah, I think it would be fantastic for the city because football really is. I remember when I first came to Dundee and I was walking around the city and it was the first time I'd really sort of walked around a big place and seen so many people wearing football tops of the club. just wandering around, and you see how much of a big part of people's lives it is here.
Is it fantastic? Is it a 50-50 split in the city, you know, Dundee and United?
I'd have to say it's about it. I think Dundee United obviously has a lot more success in the recent history in terms of, I think, playing in European competitions and getting deep into Scottish Cup finals and things like that. But I definitely think there is a big, it's a 50-50 split. But as I said, it's always good banter between them. They'll, you know, they can have a bit of shouting at each other, giving each other abuse, but they'll still go down to the pub after and have a few pints when they're allowed, obviously.
Yeah, of course, of course. That's it for a whole other day, that discussion. you know, as she said earlier on, your parents are Scottish, but you were obviously born and raised in England. How do you get a fair bit of banter being an Englishman in a Scottish team?
I think you do. I think nowadays, though, whenever we sign a new player, they always think I'm from Dundee, which I'm not sure how they mistake it with my accent, but maybe it's just because I've been here so long, I've started acting like I'm from Dundee. But I think you always get that little bit of banter, don't you? You know, the big English, you know, bad word, but things like that. It's usually when you let a goal in or you give someone a little bit, it's always your nationality comes out then. But all good fun. I always just give it. I'm pretty much Scottish now anyway. Parents are Scottish, lived here long enough.
So that's it.
I may sound like a posh English one, but you know.
Dundee now at heart. Dundee at heart.
Exactly. That's it.
So obviously you said it's what, 5 years you've been up there now, yeah?
Yeah, this is my fifth season, so come the end of the year, it'll be half a decade up here.
That's good going.
I know it's flown by, really, when I actually stop and think about it, but it's been fantastic. I love the city, I love the people, and getting involved in coaching in the community and things like that. It's, you get to know people, and it feels as much home as home does these days, which is fantastic for me. I've really felt like I've become... grown up a lot since I've been up here, which is what you want, really.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Mm. Would you recommend it to other English players who might be listening to this?
Definitely. 100%. I think I know so many players who, we've had a lot of young English players who've come up from sort of youth teams down south, and they've come up and they've ended up getting senior minutes in a professional league, whether it's, you know, some have got more than others. But I think even coming up, getting those senior professional minutes at a professional club, it can help. And sometimes I always say, sometimes you've just got to be there at the right time. You know, you just got to be there when the injury happens and you're in, or someone has a bad game and you're in. Sometimes you just got to hang it out for as long as you can.
You're right there. You are right. Yeah. You know, what are your plans for the future?
Obviously, hopefully play football, you know, play as many games as I can and see where that takes you with me. I love being at Dundee. I love the club. I love the city. But long term, obviously, I want to progress and play at as high a level as I possibly can. You know, I always have a dream of playing Premier League football and, you know, things like that. And even if it's like a situation with David Martin when he played for West Ham a couple of seasons ago. Even if it's a few games in the Premier League, it would be a dream come true. We saw how much it meant to him. And I think that's exactly play that level, play international football if I can. But at the end of the day, if I come to my end of the career and I've played professional football, I've done everything that so many people dream of. You know, I made my debut against Rangers at Ibrox. You know, there's not in front of 47,000. There's not really anything... You know, anything that I do now is just a bonus and a plus, because what better thing to do than play football every day and just try and get as high as I can, really?
Oh, definitely. How on earth was that then? I mean, you were what, 18 at the time, 19?
I think I just turned 19 a few months before.
Boom, you're on the pitch at Ibrox.
I know, it's fantastic. I'd been on the bench for a lot of that season as second choice. Ahead of because one of the goalkeepers had a bit of a falling out with the gaffer and moved on. So I ended up second choice ahead of, we brought in a goalkeeper from France. He was more senior, but I managed to get ahead of him, which was good. And then I was just sort of hoping for a chance, you know, and that came at Ibrox. The goalie went in for a 50-50, broke his nose. So he had to get taken off and I came on for the last 15 minutes. I mean, it was perfect, really. We're 3-0 down at the time, so there's no pressure. And you couldn't wish for a better scenario for it. But I always remember I twisted my ankle the day before in training and it was absolutely killing me. And I was thinking, oh, should I say something to the physio, you know? But I thought, no, I was like, no, I'm only on the bench. It's not like I'm going to play. I'll be okay. Just don't want to lose my place. And then ended up getting called upon and then suddenly the ankle pain went away. Didn't feel anything.
Definitely.
Adrenaline kicked in. It was fantastic. Loved every minute of it.
I could imagine. It's been an absolutely awesome experience. It's one of the greatest groups of fans in the world, aren't they?
Made it all worth it. Really, all the hard work. I remember sitting on the bus after just thinking, geez, that's what, at the time it would have been sort of 12 years of just solid football work, you know, giving up a lot of sacrifices and things like that. But it was all worth it for that, even just for those 15 minutes.
Yeah,
really.
That's great to hear. I mean, Callum, it's been great to chat with you this evening. I've really enjoyed it.
You too.
Yeah. And wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season for Dundee, and hopefully we'll see you in the SPL sometime soon.
Fingers crossed. Thank you very much. Hopefully it's a good one for us.
Fingers crossed. Okay. If people do want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Probably just give me a follow on Twitter or Instagram. They're usually the two. Just at Callum Ferry, really. That's all it is.
And you're busy Twittering and Instagramming away.
I'm not a big social media one, but I always like to follow what's going on, things like that. You know, following the rumours and the football things and things like that, and seeing how everyone else is doing and performing and who's playing and who's not. Following everyone I know, it's all good.
Fair dues. And, well, obviously, I'm Adam at Bucrefoot24, and you guys can get in touch with me on LinkedIn and Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all those other social media places I like to stalk as well. But it's been another episode for Shoot the Defence podcast. And until next time, take care, everyone.